Let's read together Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. In this section of the Sermon on the Mount, believers are told not to worry about their basic needs and not to worry about the future, because our Heavenly Father knows all about our needs and He knows all about the future, and He cares for us, so we don't have to worry. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's begin our study this morning with some background notes. Here's another section of the Sermon on the Mount that Christians love to read and quote, but not necessarily believe and obey. In fact, most Christians disobey this portion of Scripture. The Lord said that we are not to worry. He said it more than once, and yet we still worry, right? Is there anyone here who never worries? I don't see any hands. Why do we disobey the Lord in this matter? Is it because we don't think this matter is important? Maybe we never realized that this was a command. Don't worry. It's in the imperative all the way through here. Don't worry. It's a command. Maybe we never realized that to worry is a sin. Listen, any command of the Lord that we disobey is sin. In verse 19, remember, we were told not to lay up for ourselves treasures on this earth. If we disobey the Lord in this matter and insist on trying to get rich, we are sinning. Well, in the same way, if we worry about our basic needs or we worry about our future, we are sinning because we're disobeying the Lord. Now, in these verses before us, the Lord gives us two reasons why we should not worry. Number one, it doesn't help to worry. And number two, there's no need to worry. Number one, it doesn't help to worry. Verse 27, once again. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature or to his lifespan? You will not live any longer if you worry. In fact, you may shorten your life. And number two, there's no need to worry. Verses 32 and 33, once again. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The Lord knows our needs and cares about us and will provide for us if we look to Him. So there's no need to worry. Well, so much for our introduction and background for this important section of the Sermon on the Mount. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one. Believers should not worry about their basic needs. Believers should not worry about their basic needs. Verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? We are not to worry about our basic needs, what we shall eat, or what we shall drink, or what we shall wear. Now the Lord uses two illustrations from nature to prove his point that we don't have to worry about our basic needs. One illustration is from the animal kingdom, and one illustration is from the vegetable kingdom. Look at the birds. There's the illustration from the animal kingdom, right? Look at the birds. Let me ask you, did you ever see a bird starving to death? You might have seen dead birds, right? But did you ever see a bird starving to death? No, of course not. Birds are not lazy, and birds do have to fly around and look for food, but they don't build barns for the proverbial rainy day. You don't find birds doing that, right? God has so designed his creation that his creatures are taken care of as to food and water every day. And look at the lilies of the field. There's your illustration from the vegetable kingdom. Look at the lilies of the field. They don't spend a lot of time buying or making expensive clothes. And yet they have more beautiful clothes than the richest and wisest king who ever lived, King Solomon. Why? Because God clothes the flowers of the field. Now, if God takes care of the needs of the animal kingdom and the vegetable kingdom, which are here now and gone tomorrow, how much more will he take care of his own people? That's our Lord's argument here, and it's very logical. Easy to follow, right? Believers should not worry about their basic needs. Now, that does not mean that we are to just sit around and as freeloaders do nothing. No, in fact, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says, if anyone will not work, let him not eat. Furthermore, there's the well-known prerequisite given here to believers in verse 33. Let's read that verse once again. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. This is a great promise, but we shouldn't expect God to keep this promise if we are just indulging ourselves in selfish pleasures. No, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all your basic needs, will be added to you. So don't expect God to meet this if we're, you know, not putting the Lord first, just doing our own thing, indulging in selfish and sinful pleasures. But if we are looking to the Lord, and we are putting his interest first, then we can be sure that our basic needs will be met. And it doesn't matter whether you're out of a job, or you can't work because of a medical problem, or there's been a stock market crash, or you've just lost your home because of a natural catastrophe. If you look to the Lord and are not a selfish freeloader, your basic needs will be met. Promise that the Lord gives to his own. It's a wonderful promise. This is not a guarantee that God will give you everything you want, but it is a guarantee that God, our Heavenly Father, will give us everything we need. I've never known of an exception to this general promise. God may allow some Christians to go through famine or some other test of faith, even to the point of martyrdom. But this does not deny the general principle that believers do not have to worry about their basic needs. Believers should not worry about their basic needs. Doctrinal point number two. Believers should not worry about the future. Believers should not worry about the future. Verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let me ask you this morning, are you worried about the future? Don't worry. Don't worry about the future. It's wrong to be anxious about the future. But you say, what about my security? What about my retirement? What about my old age? Who's going to take care of me? Answer, don't worry about the future. God will take care of your future if you look to him. Now, this does not mean that we squander away our savings now, and it doesn't mean that retirement plans and pension plans and insurance plans are unbiblical. No. And it doesn't mean that we are not thankful to the Lord for Social Security, but don't worry about the future. Just use the common sense that God has given you and look to Him and don't worry. God has the greatest Social Security program for His people. Illustration. You know, I remember when I was in college, my father lost his job. Computers replaced the company department that my father managed. There was serious concern in our family. Bills had to be paid. My father was getting on in years. Not easy to get a job, right, when you're getting older. But my father, a godly Christian man, never got anxious about this matter. He believed and obeyed this scripture. He trusted the Lord as to the future. And the Lord did provide a job for him in a Christian ministry. And there he was greatly blessed and greatly used of God. Believers should not worry about the future. Verse 34, once again, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. How many would agree that each day has enough trouble of its own? So don't expect trouble-free days. The Lord said that for every day there are troubles, but don't worry. The point of verse 34 is that we should live one day at a time. Meet your responsibilities for each day as it comes along. The Lord will give you the strength you need one day at a time. Don't worry about the future. The Lord knows the future, so we don't have to be anxious about the days ahead. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, we read, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Believers should not worry about the future. Practical application. How little is your faith? How little is your faith? In verse 30, the Lord referred to believers who worry as, "O you of little faith." Would the Lord say that to us here this morning? Would He say that to you this morning? "O you of little faith." How little is your faith? Now, you've heard the question, how big is your God, right? Well, this is just another way to ask that same question. How little is your faith? According to the Lord Jesus, if you worry, your faith is a little faith. If you worry, your faith is a little faith. And if you have a little faith, your concept of God is too small. What would the Lord say this morning if He looked at your worry chart? We all have a worry chart, right? Does it go up and down like this? Or is it way up here? What would the Lord say if He looked at your worry chart? Would He say, "O you of little faith"? How little is your faith? Good question for all of us, isn't it? How little is our faith?